momentum behind the so-called Green New Deal is growing. Roughly 24 House Democrats support it. The goal is to form a congressional committee to work on legislation that would give us solutions to the climate crisis. We're talking about the Green New Deal and what it is here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hannah Northey is an energy reporter for E&E News, and she's been writing about the Green New Deal. Hannah, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, when I think of Green New Deal, I immediately think of the New Deal, the 1930s, the public works projects, FDR, the Great Depression. Is there anything reminiscent to what happened in the 30s with the New Deal?
I think that's what activists and progressive Democrats are hoping. If this plan is implemented, it would hypothetically constitute one of the largest mobilizations or mass public investments since World War II. And what they're calling for is action of that kind, the same kind of mobilization to really attack the challenge of climate change and revive the economy. But there are definitely critics out there.
So what specific policy changes are these politicians trying to push here?
Mm-hmm. Well, so right now, the Green New Deal, it's like an ambitious framework of policy proposals that Democrats are pushing. And it's also kind of like a rallying cry, a public enthusiasm. It's really an umbrella of policy proposals, and the details haven't been fleshed out. But what we do know is that they're calling for the United States to shift to 100% renewables within a decade. It would decarbonize the entire industry, our nation, and it would create a federal jobs program with a $15 minimum wage and benefits.
So there are things in here that would address climate change. There are things to address poverty. And are those things working in concert with each other, do you see?
I mean, hypothetically, that's what would happen, right? The federal jobs program would be aimed at clean energy or efficiency projects. The goal of 100% renewables would be targeted at the energy industry. The efficiency part, the smart grid portion, all of these proposals are supposed to work together. Now, whether that'll actually happen or not, of course, is unseen.
So who are the key politicians behind the Green New Deal? Who's pushing this?
Well, it's pretty interesting. Representative-elect Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, of course, is the leader. She's pitched this proposal on her website, or just really the bullet points that she wants to see. And then behind her, actually, there are now 35 House Democrats who are supporting this proposal. And so there is a lot of momentum behind this plan, but there are, almost 200 Democrats in the House. So this is still a small but growing but vocal minority. And then behind them are groups like the Sunrise Movement. It's an activist group that, has roots in the Occupy Wall Street movement, and they've been storming the Capitol just yesterday. More than 1,000 activists went to the offices of House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Steny Hoyer, McGovern, and they're calling for action. So it's both the activists and then this younger generation of progressive Democrats, many of them first-time candidates. And then also there are some established members of Congress, too, like Congressman John Lewis of Georgia, a well-known civil rights activist. And then obviously yesterday, members of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, including Mark Pocan from Wisconsin, threw their support behind the deal.
So someone wrote that the backers are a slew of enthusiastic young environmentalists. With a Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican president, what are the chances of actually pushing something like this through?
Right. So in our coverage, we have talked to the activist leaders of the Sunrise Movement, and they're not expecting change within the next 2 years necessarily. What they're calling for is the formation of this special committee, and the committee would be charged with writing the legislation over the next 2 years, bringing in witnesses, and of course the authority and exactly whether or not that select committee will be set up is still to be determined. But they acknowledge that under the Trump administration or with a Republican Senate, they're not going to see action necessarily on any of these priorities, but they're setting it up to be an issue in the 2020 presidential election.
because it's a real stark contrast to President Trump's environmental policies and his environmental outlook. His administration has not prioritized energy efficiency or combating climate change. And in Poland, they were pushing fossil fuels. It just seems very unlikely that some of these proposals would actually go anywhere under this administration. What's your assessment there?
Well, it's not going to go anywhere. Definitely during the next 2 years, nothing is going to happen. But at the same time, these progressive Democrats are saying, look at how much momentum we have. Look at all these activists that are heading to the Hill. Look at how we are pushing through the creation of a select committee. And so I think, you know, some people have said that it's not so much the policy prescriptions or the lack thereof, but the fact that there's grassroots energy. But yeah, there is no way that these policies are not going to pass during the next 2 years. And then when 2020 comes, we'll see, you know, which of the candidates, the presidential contenders, you know, line up with this plank of thinking, what kind of proposals they're moving toward.
Talking with Hannah Northey, she is an energy reporter for E&E News. We're looking at the so-called Green New Deal and how lawmakers on Capitol Hill are lining up behind it and who's not lining up behind it, how activists are working behind the scenes, including the Sunrise Movement. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the Green New Deal? Is there something in there that you see as a real aha moment for you? Do you think that the country could get behind it? Do you think lawmakers on Capitol Hill could embrace it? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So let's break down a little bit, Hannah, the components of this proposal. One of the goals is to shift to 100% renewable energy sources in a decade. Mm-hmm. Is that possible?
It's interesting. I dug into this issue just yesterday, and what I found is that researchers say that pretty much anything is possible with enough money and political will, but there are real engineering questions when you get to these really high levels of renewable penetration, and that's where some of the debate begins, as I found. You know, some will say you only need a smarter grid, more battery storage, and more flexibility in demand to get up to 100% renewables. Others say when you take gas out of the mix, it just, you need to have more technology, one that doesn't exist. They say it just becomes more difficult at those high penetrations. So I think that a lot more research and debate is going on, and also it really does come down to financial and political will.
The plan includes a national jobs program. How would that work?
Another great question. So it's a $15 per hour wage with benefits. And what they're essentially saying is that this would be government funded. It's a green jobs program for anybody that wants one. And so when I asked activists or the leaders of the Sunrise Movement, well, what exactly might that mean? It could be installing solar panels, wind turbines, making buildings more efficient, removing lead from schools. So they have different examples, but it's not totally clear how it would be implemented. Hypothetically, it would come from the federal level, and then these jobs would be created at the local or community level, like where all these people live. Of course, there are critics. Senator John Barrasso, who's the incoming, he's the EPW chair, which some of this legislation would go through. He says this is a crazy mess, right? He's criticizing the Green New Deal, but essentially, I think this is a progressive Democrat's way of saying this is how we would build jobs, this is how we would address climate change, and this is how we would support the economy.
Green New Deal is inspired by FDR's legendary public works programs in the 30s that were meant to lift America out of the Great Depression. The Green New Deal is supposed to reduce climate pollution while lifting struggling families out of poverty. We're learning about it with E&E reporter Hannah Northey. You can join in 800-642-1234. Have you heard of the Green New Deal? What are your thoughts on it? Call in, email ideas at WPR.org. We'll get back to the conversation in a minute here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about the Green New Deal, looking at whether it will gain traction on Capitol Hill, looking at whether the plan would go anywhere, what barriers it might face under the current administration. talking about it on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Hannah Northey stays with us. She's a reporter for E&E News. You can join in as well at 800-642-1234. What stands out to you about this Green New Deal? Is this something that you want Congress to take up? Is it possible to support renewable energy without compromising America's manufacturing industries? Call in, tweet us, WPR Mornings. Let's go to Nancy now in Wausau. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning. I feel the new Green Deal could be a big possibility. I know here in Wisconsin, we have Mandela Barnes and Tony Evers really toting it. And I think it is something that Congress needs to take up. I think the GOP, however, is really holding us back due to the fact that they are bought and paid for, beholden to big oil.
Nancy, thanks for the call. She made the point that we in Wisconsin have a new incoming Democratic governor. She also made the point that lawmakers are tied to the oil industry, and there's a lot of lobbying that goes on. Hannah?
Yeah, so that's a really good point. And many of these progressive Democrats that want a special committee formed, they have been signing pledges to accept no fossil fuel money. So I think that they do acknowledge that that is a point. Some of that funding is a bit of a point of conflict with some of these established veteran Democrats who want the committees to work in such a way they're pushing back on the creation of a special new committee. But also, yes, Republicans are both undercutting the science of climate science when it comes to these hearings, and we don't know if they're not making it a priority, so I think you are going to see more public enthusiasm behind the Green New Deal.
Has there been a response from manufacturing, other industries, how this Green New Deal would work?
Not yet. It's pretty early, but as we can see through some of the Republicans like Barrasso, he circulated a memo yesterday calling it a crazy expensive mess. I mean, you can see the message trying to undercut the plan or undercut some of this enthusiasm. So I think you may see more of that, but at the same time, I mean, some of these industries are already embracing efficiency measures, just like the energy sector is. So there is some of this work underway.
Is there a way to implement a carbon tax without harming business interests? Can you walk that line?
I think that's a great question. And some of the Republicans in Congress who are concerned about climate change and accept the science have pushed for a carbon tax. But progressive Democrats for a Green New Deal say that that's been too politically tricky, that it can be a part of this larger framework, but it can't be the only sticking point. So that's an interesting debate.
One of the other things in this Green New Deal is a smart grid. What is a smart grid?
So it's a term of art in the industry. It can mean many different things, but really it has to do with more sensors on the grid. It has to do with moving away from a system that's designed around big centralized power plants and one-way power flows. And so I think the idea, again, like that work is already underway. A lot of, you know, millions of dollars have been invested in smart meters and storage. But I think the idea of what the Green New Deal is trying to get at is that they want a smarter, more sensitive, more flexible grid to support renewables. And possibly, I mean, when you think about a green grid, you have to move power from wind and solar hubs to other places that need it across the country.
So how does the proposal then expand on energy efficiency? Where do you see those high points in this plan?
Right. Well, again, the details are not there yet, so it's kind of hard to say. But what we do know is that the Trump administration has slowed down or just stopped efficiency measures coming out of the Department of Energy. And so even to have a focus on that would advance the issue. And this is something that Nancy Pelosi has actually given voice to. She said, I want to create this special committee because it would address efficiency. And so you can save a lot. I mean, there are different appliances. There's a different suite of technologies, but these measures have been slowed. So this would change that.
Hannah Northey is with us as we talk about the Green New Deal. She's reports with E&E News. You can join in, 800-642-1234. Do you pay attention to environmental goals of your lawmakers? Does the environment drive your vote? Is it possible to support renewable energy without hurting America's manufacturing. 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Hannah, you briefly touched on the Sunrise Movement as having some propelling this Green New Deal forward. What do we know about the activism behind the Green New Deal?
Well, some of my colleagues have written quite a bit about the Sunrise Movement, but essentially it has its roots in the Occupy Wall Street movement. It has support from the Sierra Club, and a lot of these activists actually had contact with Ocasio-Cortez before she ran for office. And so it's been a larger movement that's grown. And since then, they have moved into the Capitol or really demonstrated on pivotal days. Ocasio-Cortez's first day in office, they were camped out at Pelosi's office calling for a select committee, and Ocasio-Cortez made an appearance. So they have actually been really politically savvy.
So very visible as well. Is that going to make an impact here? Will activism play a larger role in the Green New Deal and what it intends to do?
I really do think so, especially in the last couple months, we've had 5 dire climate reports come out, and that's what these activists say are fueling them. It's the threat of climate change, the need to act fast, and I don't think that that's going to go away. The Sunrise Movement is really a millennial-led grassroots movement, and so they're pushing and pushing for action. And I mean, you can kind of see during the midterms that really surfaced, and so I don't think that that's going to go away. And I think Democrats want to tap into that, too.
So the Green New Deal has a catchy slogan. It captures progressive policies. It has broad policy proposals right now, not really very specific ways on implementing. It has some ideas about process and the committee work. Does it have anything else besides that? When will we know whether this takes off?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think we're going to watch to see if the select committee is formed. We're going to see who they bring in and, you know, who are the witnesses, what kind of fact-finding missions do they go on, and then we're going to see who comes forward with, like, actual language, right? So Bernie Sanders has said he wants to come out with legislation that kind of mirrors the Green Deal pitch. When I talk to Sunrise activists, they talk about all these different bills that they could pull from that are potential sources of legislative language. And so I think the ideas are marinating, but we're going to have to wait to see what actually comes out of it.
Do we know anything more about how this sits with Nancy Pelosi?
We don't. I mean, she has said that she supports reviving the special committee, and she actually did run a special committee of this kind in the past, which fizzled when Republicans took the House back, but that came up with the Waxman-Markey climate cap-and-trade bill. What's kind of interesting is that there's tweaking going on. You know, how this moves through existing committees, does it respect the existing turf of veteran Democrats? I think all of that's, it's just so quickly changing. Mm. You could potentially see more support shaping up for it.
Let's go to John joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, John. Go ahead.
Hello. We do need a large political shift to change our direction. This is a serious problem. It's worldwide. It's not just here. Excuses like India or China not doing enough are not sufficient to me.
So, John, do you think you will see a huge political shift? We're short on time. What's going to be the impetus?
The people, I hope. It's got to be a push through the heart of the people to get this done.
Well, John, thanks for the call. Hannah, as we start to wrap up here, what are you watching next for the Green New Deal? Where are your eyes?
I think we are going to watch what the House rules are to see if the select committee is formed. I think at the beginning of January, that decision will be made, and then we're going to see who it's staffed with. If it's not created, how would these ideas be taken up and moved forward? Frank Pallone, the incoming head of the Energy and Commerce Committee, has said he's going to hold a series of hearings on climate change, and then, of course, what comes in 2020, right, with the next presidential contenders.
And we'll be watching for that. Thank you so much for joining us, Hannah.
Thanks
appreciate
for having
it.
Me.
Yeah, Hannah Northey is an energy reporter for E&E News, and she's been writing about the Green New Deal. Up next is the news, and we'll talk to a reporter about what's happening to Wisconsin's juvenile justice system in preparation for the closure of Lincoln Hills. And thank you to all who contributed during our year-end membership drive. You donated more than $375,000. $2,350 listeners pledged, and we're glad to welcome 425 new members to the WPR family. Lots of numbers there. And if you missed the drive, there's still time to join in with your donation at WPR.org. Your year-end gift ensures a strong future for the Wisconsin Public Radio programs that you love in 2019 and beyond. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us.